few weeks ago that as we were now looking at the names of the sons of Jacob, sometimes we would be drawing the lessons from their names, sometimes from their prosperity, and in other occasions from what Jacob had to say about them. In Genesis 49, he has gathered his sons around him, and he is telling them, prophesying, and telling them things that will happen in the future. And when you read the Word of God, and right into the New Testament, you do see there that it came to pass, the things that he said would happen. So therefore, they were very important messages that Jacob had for his sons. But the Holy Spirit has recorded them in the Word of God, that you and I might profit from them as well. And we trust that you're doing that. We looked at Asher, and we said that the name Asher meant happy. I think the title that day was, Happiness is to Know the Saviour. And we drew some comparisons with where the world seeks to find its happiness, and how you and I can have it and find it in Christ alone. And then we looked at Dan as well, and the name Dan meaning judge, and we said that that was a name with a challenging message, and so it was, as we looked at that together. Again, we looked at Gad just last week, and Gad meaning troop, referring to a group of men, like an army, and the title, I think, was Standing By Purpose True. And we did encourage ourselves that together, while the Church of Christ in history sometimes, in some places, faces hostility, that inevitably every Christian faces difficulty at some stage in their walk with the Lord. Well, this morning we're coming to look at the tribe or the son called Zebulun. We've read about Zebulun there this morning. We read in Genesis chapter 30 that Leah said there that maybe Jacob now would dwell with her. You know the battle that was going on there. Jacob loved Rachel, but he loved her more than he loved Leah, and Leah was always, she was always jealous of that. It was a very sad situation there in the house. We mentioned that before, that there were many domestic issues going on there, but she uses the word dwell, that my husband may dwell with me. Well, Zebulun means, the name Zebulun means dweller, or carries the thought of a little dwelling. It also carries a shade of meaning, dwelling, the dwelling of honour. And this morning, I just want to, as I look at Zebulun, I want to speak to you about doing what we can where we are. That's the title. Doing what we can where we are. And I trust that you will see the importance of that as we look at this message together. Now, Jacob told Zebulun where his descendants would dwell. And many years later, when the tribes were received their allotted land in Joshua chapter 19, we see there some of the cities, and they were cities that were given to Zebulun. And it's very notable there in that portion that they were beside the sea, but that was not the Mediterranean Sea. If you read in Genesis chapter 49 and 13, you will see that there's a reference there to the north of Israel over. And Jacob was saying here that his descendants would settle there by the sea. And in Matthew chapter 4, that's exactly what we see. Do you remember Jacob said that they would be a haven for ships? And maybe Zebulun was wondering, what does that mean? Well, his descendants settled by the sea, and over there in Matthew chapter 4, you see that that absolutely is the case. A number of years ago, it's quite a few years ago now, there was a set of stamps issued in Israel, and they were, for some reason or another, they were issued, but for the tribe of Zebulun, there was a little print there of a ship on the stamp. Something that was very interesting, that was the logo of Zebulun, was the dwelling place of ships, remembering what the name means, to dwell. And folks, That reminds me already of something very important. God guides his people. Sometimes we can lose our way. Sometimes we become frustrated and we don't know whether it is self-will or the Lord leading us, and we can make mistakes. That is the importance of being among God's people and being at the throne of grace and prayer and being in the Word of God, knowing every day that leading on with the Lord. He's promised, I will guide thee with mine eye. And young person, let the Lord choose your way for you. The world will have invitations for you and a way laid out for you. And perhaps today you're young here and you're, God willing, many years ahead. And what you do with them in many ways will be determined by the choices that you make. You have great potential to live for the Lord wherever he places you. And you have prospects of making your mark for him. Please do not forget that, young person. But as we look this morning here at doing what we can where we are, I want you to notice, first of all, the prophet of Zebulun. Now, we've already read in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 13 that Zebulun shall be a haven for ships. And the word haven there is a word which means to shield or to protect. It also means to cover up. In other words, when Jacob was speaking to Zebulun and he was telling all the sons the different things regarding their tribe, some of the news was good, some of it was not what they wanted to hear, but he was a straight talker, as he should have been, and he told them how it was, and he told them the different things that would happen. But he told Zebulun, now, your people, your land, will be a shelter and a refuge. Remember now, when we read in Genesis 4, we're looking here at near Galilee. And in the Gospel, storms sometimes arose on the Sea of Galilee. And there were mountains on either side. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but it was certainly a time of danger. And very often, whenever that storm would come up, those who were out in their boats, they would row for safety. And inevitably, they would come to a port that was belonging to Zebulun. You think the Word of God is so unique and so accurate, and what God says is going to happen will always happen. And sometimes I know to our finite minds it seems that it's not happening, but it will always happen. If he said it will come to pass. In Matthew chapter 2, you can actually take encouragement there from the fact that Christ, Zebulun became a haven for him. He was often associated with that area, and it was a haven for Christ's people as well. If you read Matthew chapter 4 there and the verses there, in fact, the majority of Christ's 3.5 years of ministry in earth were in the Capernaum area in Zebulun. And therefore, that is the importance of it. You read there, and I'm not taking time to turn for it for the sake of time, you read there about darkness. People dwelling in darkness in Matthew 4, they had saw a light. There were many sinful souls around there. Some of them came to him. Now remember, we're looking here at Capernaum, which really was Zebulun. And in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1, it is referred to as his city. It's his place, his home. In fact, some years ago, at the entrance to Capernaum, apparently there was a sign there as you entered Capernaum, and it simply said, the town of Jesus. So when you think of Zebulun, folks, and the prophet of Zebulun, you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. This really was his headquarters. Capernaum, you see, Matthew 4 and 13, was in Zebulun. And many years before Jacob had spoken about the importance of Zebulun being a haven, being a place to shield, a place to protect, a place that would cover up. Zebulun then was of great use to the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent so long there during his earthly ministry. And men and women, wherever God has placed you, Maybe you're in a job and you feel it's a dead end street. Or you feel that, well, in my life, I haven't done anything outstanding. No Christian would ever notice me doing anything, or anyone else would notice me either. Well, that doesn't matter. The important thing is doing what we can where we are, being to the Lord what Zebulun was to the Saviour. And I will be going on regarding this message, but I want to say to you today that the Lord can use you exactly where you are. So often I hear people talking about whenever things improve, or whenever I get to a different type of job, or in the world today there's this cry for change. You know, most people's lives, including preachers, most of our lives are quite monotonous. And that's life. But there's a cry out now for excitement, then more excitement, then something else exciting. And then, and a whole lot of times it lasts a wee while and generally comes to nothing. What about doing what we can where we are? Where the Lord has placed us. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, or chapter 12, sorry. It's a lovely chapter that shows us that God's word, which you have, you can do much for Christ where you are with the word. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That is saying to us again and reminding us that God's word will accomplish that which pleases him. If you look there in verse 6 of that chapter, it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, wherever you are, and whenever you are there, do whatever you can for the Lord. Remembering this, that slothfulness is to be avoided by believers. Excuse me. And I know that during this pandemic time, many Christians have understandably become a little bit discouraged and disappointed. But some are getting to that point where they're almost getting under. And I've mentioned that before. Getting under this thing. And every day is just a drag. Well, the Lord is encouraging us here to sow your seed in the morning and in the evening, and to withhold not thy hand. That reminds us of what it says there in chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, this is Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, when you do it with your might, remember it's you in your small corner. You're not a Christian that generally is noticed a lot. And maybe you feel that you're insignificant. Will you read Romans chapter 16? The names of people that is kept there in the word of God for all time. And the Apostle Paul put them there because they had done something to help. We don't know anything else about the most of them, apart from the fact that their name is there and that they helped him. Somewhere along the line, their paths crossed and they helped the work. And folks, that's what counts. It is not being noticed or promoting ourselves. That promoting ourselves is a nonsense. It is not being noticed or what people say. It is doing what we can where we are. And I'm thankful here to be working with a congregation where people do that. And we don't sit down and criticize you and think, well, he doesn't do this or that or the other. You may have circumstances that none of the rest of us know about. We're thankful for what you do. But please remember that during this 2-week shutdown, the work goes on where you are. Doing what you can where you are during that 2 weeks. And it says there, whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, you may be unnoticed like the people in Romans chapter 16. And in this life, and this is just being honest with you, in this life you may be unrewarded. No one may ever say thank you for what you did. Thank you for encouraging me or helping me. You may never even hear that. But remember, you're doing it for the Lord. You think of Zebulun. Zebulun became a place that was a great profit to the Lord. There's plenty of people around that Capernaum area. Remember how hard they were. How bitter they were against him. And they didn't heed his teaching at all. And therefore, when it's hard for you and me, Let's remember him. But we're still to do what we can where we are. It was very notable there that that is where he was. There was a prophet or the service of Zebulun. It was a haven and it proved a great place of opportunity for the Lord. But there was also what I've called the pleading of Zebulun. Maybe you would turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. And verse 18. And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun," Moses here, "in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and the treasures hid in the sands." God's servant here is speaking of the many thousands that were associated with each tribe. He's saying here, the descendants of Zebulun. Now that's what it says in verse 19. The descendants of Zebulun will call people to the mountain. And then if you look again in Matthew 4, there in that chapter, while the Lord was on the seashore, it was there he called Peter and Andrew and James and John, who were, he called fishers, and he called them in order that they might call sinners to Christ. And the father, and this is just a note by the way, the father of James and John of Zebedee, it's from the same word as Zebulun in Hebrew. And it's all ties in together. In fact, the only disciples that were not from Zebulun were, we believe, were Matthew and certainly Judas. Now you remember in Pentecost, we're thinking here of the pleading of Zebulun. You remember Peter was saved by the Lord and called to preach. At Pentecost, when Peter preached, I want you to read with you what we read over there in the book of Acts. Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2. And this is the time when there was the speaking of other languages so that people could understand them. It says in verse 7, "And they," that is the people who were listening, "were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" What is he doing there? He is calling men and women to repentance. Now we know the message, and we've read the chapter many times of his great message, how he confronts them with their putting to death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the call, and then there's a response in verse 37, where many of them are pricked in their hearts and conscience. And they're crying out, "Sirs, men and brethren, what shall we do?" What he was actually doing then, doing here, he was calling them to a mountain. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy 33? Well, how was he calling them to a mountain? Well, that is the Hebrew Mount of the Lord is a reference to the church. And that's what he was doing. And he would go out along with the others and call men and women to the haven, which is Christ. And folks, that's your job and mine. Along with all of our other responsibilities and duties, we need to ask him, even during the 2-week lockdown, please do not just feel that you have to stop going on with the Lord or stop serving the Lord during the 2 weeks. Not like that. Doing what we can where we are. Ask him for opportunity. Ask him for grace to help you. Ask him for acceptance with the people. Peter here was taking his life in his hands, but God gave grace, and in that situation, many of them came to know the Lord when Peter preached there at Pentecost. But I want you to read what it says over here, because we need to ask the Lord for grace and for opportunity, but we need to ask the Lord for strength If you look at what it says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 17, Psalm 17 begins with David praying. It says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer." And that's what you and I need. We need audience with the Lord. And we've often said, it's my responsibility to check my own heart, make sure there's nothing there that would be a hindrance when we pray. But look at verse 5. He's asking here for help. He cries to the Lord and he says, "Hold up my goings in thy paths." Here's a man who knows that as he looks around him, there's other people that are watching him, and if his footsteps do slip, people will be discouraged. That's what happens to Christians when others begin to lose out. That's why we encourage you to come as many meetings as you can and encourage others. It discourages others when Christians lose out and maybe leave off the meetings altogether. The psalmist knew that. He knew also that the world looking at him would be watching him and would expect a great deal of consistency from him, and they do from you as well. He'd ask the Lord to hold us up. But he knew that his footsteps were prone to slip. He wasn't filled with pride at this time, but rather he said, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." He wanted to be actively advancing with the Lord, and for that he needed the Lord to hold him up. He needed the Lord's strength, and so do you. And so do I. Need the Lord. And I want to say today to you, as we consider doing what we can where we are, please do remember the prophet of Zebulun. Remember the prophet you can be to the Lord, just where you are. But remember the pleading I hear connected with Zebulun, calling people to the mountain. That's our main aim in life, just to call people to Christ. That's all Peter could do in Pentecost. He was dealing with people who had been very, very hostile indeed, but he called them to the Lord. And that is what the church has to continue to do. There was the prophet of Zebulun, the pleading of Zebulun, but I want to notice as well, there is the praising of Zebulun. Did you notice over there in Deuteronomy chapter 33, and it said there in verse 18, "And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out." The tribe or the descendants of Zebulun would be blessed in a way that their heart would be rejoicing. And Christian, there is praise for you. And there is rejoicing for the Christian church. And if you're, remember the name of Zebulun meaning dwelling. If you're dwelling with the Lord, if you're dwelling in the place where God has called you to, and you're going on with the Lord. Now again, I said, sometimes human beings, we can get that wrong and get off track, and sooner or later you see the cracks beginning to appear. And that has happened to many, many Christians. It can happen to any of us. But our responsibility is to stay near to Him and to be those who are walking with God. And when we do that, it's not an accident. Nothing's an accident. But it's an appointment. Everything that happens is an appointment. And I trust that the Lord will help us to be those who are rejoicing. Living in hard times. Not many people really interested in the Word. And sad to say, as I said, Christians in danger of losing out. Becoming, not really, the zeal disappearing. You and I want to stay close to Him so that our hearts are filled with joy. Remember what I said, when we're walking with the Lord, what comes in is not an accident, but an appointment. And all the time here we're looking at doing what we can where we are. And we said then that our job was calling men and women, being of use to the Lord and calling men and women to the Saviour. The word preaches in the New Testament about 112 times at least. I think it's 112 times. And on very, very few occasions, that refers to what I'm doing right now. Referring to a pulpit ministry. Very, very seldom. Mostly it refers to heralding or to telling out by the rank and file of the congregation. And I trust that will encourage you today. Maybe you look again with me in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. In this chapter, Stephen has been killed, and the church is in great turmoil. The Apostle Paul has not been saved yet, and he's wrecking the place all around him, killing people, torturing people, destroying the churches. It says that in verse 3. And it says there in verse 1, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So it was everyone else, the apostles, they stayed there. But if you look on down, you see that was those who went everywhere else. Look at verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That does not mean doing what I'm doing now in an organized situation. You could refer to it as public pulpit oratory. It refers to heralding, to going out and gossiping the gospel. You know John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? He said that he was convicted and turned to Christ through listening to the women in the streets of Bedford gossiping the gospel, talking to each other about what the Lord was doing and what the Lord had done. And it was listening to them that he would come under conviction of sin, consequently came to the Lord. And what a blessing it is, folks, for all of us to know that we don't have to be in a pulpit. For 2 weeks, we're not going to be. And we know that most people don't be most of the time. But remember this, the importance of heralding the gospel, the importance of one-to-one. Just that wee word, kind word in season that may lead to a conversation concerning the Lord. There are many people, I think, in any country who would perhaps like to be dwelling in a different place. Remember, a key word here is dwell. Dwelling in a different place, and if they had the opportunity, they might move. But remember what we said. Zebulun, way back in Jacob's time, when Jacob talked about Zebulun being a haven for ships, you think, what do you mean by that? It became a haven for ships. It became a place that was of great use to the Lord. And remember that wherever you are, people need you there. In that place of employment that I mentioned, that maybe you feel a little bit monotonous, they need you there. More than that, God needs you there as his witness for him to do what you can where you are. But also, you need to be there because that is God's will for you. Or it could be God's will for me. What a blessing it is, folks, just to have the opportunity to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. These are just a few of the thoughts. There's so many other things that we could say about Zebulun if we had time, but we've picked out a few thoughts, and we trust that you'll remember him. Zebulun, meaning dweller. Remember that you dwell where God has placed you, and you go on with the Lord there and do what you can just where you are.